after Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. We welcome in Eric Meehan. Hello there, sir.
Hi. Hi. That's a tough PSA to come in after, especially since I think you tried to interrupt it in the middle of this.
Now, that wasn't me. That was technology.
Technology. Listen, what I should have requested instead of a wonderful, highly suspect track, I should have requested the Incredible Hulk Walking Away music.
Oh?
Da-da-da-da. Tim Tebow.
Oh, no. Oh, no, did
Tim
he?
Tebow.
Did he give it up?
Once again, unemployed.
Maybe he'll try hockey now.
Hey, listen, we can only hope. We can, you know... Everybody needs a goon. Just hit somebody, as somebody famous once said. He didn't miss a chance to quote the Bible on the way out, but he's gone. So all of you who bought Tim Tebow paraphernalia, you have a questionable bit of history. Well done.
Well done. Yes, congratulations. Enjoy that.
As much as the Celtics will enjoy their summer league title.
Yes.
Yeah.
Darn right.
Okay, God. I am just watching all the sports do all their fake things, and it's like, oh, that's adorable. For Major League, it's just the regular season. It's bizarre and fake. I was just watching, I'll talk about wine eventually. I was just watching Moneyball. You ever watch Moneyball?
I love that. I've seen good that play. About a dozen times.
Yeah, good play. I never actually sat and watched it. I know the book, but I've never sat down and watched Brad Pitt look like Brad Pitt. Can anybody truly be in a movie with Brad Pitt and not just feel awful about themselves? I mean, my God.
I like it. And I think he does it more in Moneyball than any other movie. I always I watch Brad Pitt movies just to see how frequently he eats in character.
Yeah, he does. He likes to eat in character. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I'm immediately picturing Ocean's 11 with him, like kind of like licking his fingers after downing like a cheesesteak.
Yeah.
Bizarre. The weird thing about it is, speaking of wines, like Brad Pitt, as I'm sure a lot of you know, and Angelina Jolie, though split they are, and Angelina is, they co-own one of the better known estates in the wine world, Chateau de Miraval, which is managed by my friends, the Perrin family. Down in Provence, and it's this absolutely spectacular place. I guess they got married there, yada, 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 like you do when you have all that kind of money. And that place could just be the residuals from the Ocean's 11 series. they're trying to quit that, but that's one of the places I was considering hopefully stopping next spring when I hopefully get to France again. Who knows? Who knows? By the way, good time to mention before I dive into Sangiovese land in Italy. Folks, we're masking up again at the store. Please remember that we've been through a year and a half of this. So just throw them in your car and use them, please.
Yes.
Thank you. Italy. We've done the greater Piedmontese area, that is the northwest. Last week we hit the northeast with Verona and Prosecco country and Valpolicella and Amarone country. The thing that Americans know Italy for best in terms of wine, and this is based primarily on tourism, is of course Chianti and Sangiovese. Sangiovese, let's hit that first. So Sangiovese means literally the blood of Jove or Jupiter, which is the equivalent of Zeus. For those not familiar with the Italian lexicon of the Greek gods that are exactly the same, just with different names. But basically, yes, blood of the high god, whichever high god you believe, Sangiovese. Sangiovese is not an easy grape. It's not one of those grapes that... I think lends itself to easy drinking. That said, there are examples of it that are, but it's higher in acidity than most grapes that are considered fairly scrumptious. And it's finicky. It's thought to date to the Etruscans, right? So we're talking about 750 BC, though the first documented reference is in 1590 in Tuscany. It's found in an awful lot of places in and throughout central Italy, right? So, of course, Tuscany, the most famous, but, of course, across the Apennine Mountains, you find it in the region of the a little farther south, you see it. You see it in northern Umbria. You see it in Emilia-Romagna. And all of these places, naturally, though Emilia-Romagna primarily does claim to sort of be the real home to it. It's unofficial, but that's how they roll. And so Tuscan, it's most famed in Chianti solely, I'm telling you people, for the reason that when Americans go to Italy, they primarily do Florence, the city of Florence, famed for the Medici family, Brunelleschi's Dome, Il Duomo, all this tremendous architecture and examples of just fabulous wealth. And then south of that, about 60 kilometers or so, everything is 60 kilometers in my mind, is the city of Siena. Siena, again, a beautiful, beautiful medieval city. And in between, conveniently, sits Chianti Classico. Now, Chianti is divided into several sub-regions, and if something is simply labeled Chianti as opposed to one of the sub-regions, as I'm sure all of our listeners can kind of gather, it's from sort of anywhere in that area. But Chianti Classico, the considered heartland of the Chianti region, which the primary grape is Sangiovese, that sits literally on the path between these two cities. So you can imagine that pretty much any tour bus who wants to, say, have Americans go, ooh, that sounds delightful, will include a vineyard trip or two. They may be the world's worst vineyard. It's plausible. There are indeed some extraordinary vineyards in the, as well as some of the satellite areas, Rufina, Colle Senese, etc. But that's why Chianti is so famed. South of there, again, we'll just call it 60 kilometers, two cities that are also really well known for Sangiovese. That is the city of Montalcino, where they make the wine Brunello, not to be confused with any of the wines from the North Piedmont area, and also the city of Montepulciano, not to be confused with the region in the grape in the south, which is grown in the region of Abruzzo. That is Montepulciano, the grape grown in Abruzzo. In the city of Montepulciano, they grow the grape Sangiovese. Why do they do that to us? I don't know. It's not my fault. But this is these are two places where, though it is not Chianti, people have started to understand that there's extraordinarily good Sangiovese grown there. Also, to the west on the coast of Tuscany, you have a couple of regions, the Maremma, etc., that are a little more wild, a little bit more influenced by the Mediterranean winds, climates, etc. But they're also growing not only Sangiovese, but its cousin Ciliegiolo, and then also all around Tuscany, you have these experimentations that really kind of started in the 50s of growing international varieties, Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, etc., that they blend into wines with Sangiovese and sometimes not with Sangiovese, which have taken on the moniker of a super Tuscan, some of which cost hundreds of dollars. It's a very interesting place. A lot of influence and indeed monetary investment from places like Bordeaux, a lot of cross-pollinization there, which is how the concept, I think, of the super Tuscan really came in. And lots of interest, internationally, And then, of course, in the areas around it, we're now starting to see better imports. So we do have some really cool Northern Umbrian Sangiovese, some really cool Emilia-Romanan Sangiovese, some really cool Marche Sangiovese. So for those of you who tend to love that, there's a lot of things that are kind of opening up. I'm sure I'm running out of time.
About a minute or so.
About a minute or so. Great. Well, I should mention, obviously, there's other things that are grown in Tuscany in these areas around there. In Tuscany, of course, you have the wonderful white Vernaccia, grown primarily around the other historic city of San Gimignano. You have up in Lambrusco, I'm sorry, in Emilia-Romagna, you have Lambrusco, centered around the city of Bologna, which just matches these wonderful fatty sausages that come from there beautifully. In the Marche, as I mentioned, you do have that grape, Montepulciano, as well as the Verdicchio grape. In Umbria, the primary grape, Sagrantino, which is a very sort of deep, brooding, dark grape, and then the white Orvieto. And then, not to be missed, of course, around Rome, you have Cesenese, Trebbiano, Malvasia, not as well known for its wines as much as its sort of being Rome. But, you know, notable things that are happening there. Next week, we'll certainly hit southern Italy, which is extraordinarily diverse. But in the meantime, just want to remind everybody, get the shots, get the boosters. Please do consider wearing a mask in the store. We will be doing so out of deference to science. So let's get this thing done, people. And otherwise, I'll talk to you all next week.
That sounds like a good plan. Thanks, Eric. We'll see you then.
Thanks, gents. Bye-bye.
Eric Mahan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor, with Message in the Bottle.